Amazon brings the UEFA Champions League.
Unbelievable!
With Tuesday's unmissable match.
Enchantingly wonderful!
World-class players.
Salah!
What a strike!
Incredible drama.
And Haaland!
History in the making.
Rice with take two!
The UEFA Champions League. It's on Prime.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor. Now, before we begin, I'd like to dive in and just say a big thank you to today's sponsor, Dr. Bradley Nelson, the New York Times bestselling author of The Emotion Code and The Body Code. We're grateful for his support of this show and for working to helping people explore their energy healing in a safe, structured way. Now, today's guest, I'm really excited to introduce. His name is Kent Maxon. He is an award-winning Nashville songwriter raised in West Texas, a Texas Tech grad, and Max to his friends. And his songs have played in international radio and TV. He's earned a RIAA Gold Records Award from Where I'm Sitting, recorded by Gary Allen. And he's a co-written with Garth Brooks. Kent's new memoir is just come out, and it's No Way Out But Through, a songwriter's slow, blind journey from chaos to clarity. And it weaves faith, story, and lyrics into a powerful testimonial. So you can explore more on kentmaxon.com, and his links will be in the show notes, so you'll be able to take a look and visit his website and visit the books. And I am so excited to have you on the show. Kent, can you tell everybody, say hello and tell them all about yourself and, who you are?
Well, my name is Kent Maxon. As you said, I grew up in Texas. There's really not anything fancy about me. I try to be authentic, and I think it shows through in my book, my music, and that's kind of my goal. I'm a follower of Jesus, and my story is really just basically about that journey that from where I used to be to where I am now.
I love it. Now, what opened the door to No Way Out But Through? And what does that slow, blind journey from chaos to clarity mean in your life?
Well, one of the things it talks about in the book is God was a songwriter and I was a song. If you've ever, people who write and create, you really are in a void. You're looking for this, people call it the cosmics or whatever, and you wrestle with chaos until you find the message, the and put this chaos into a form. For me, and this, I'm going to be a little bit winded on this song. I appreciate it, your patience. This book started because of one major event that took place in my life that inspired me to get started on it. And as it goes, they say the five biggest trials that anyone can have in their life are, first of all, the death of a loved one. Then there's the a divorce. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a health issue. It's going to be, I got to remember them all, loss of a job. Mm-hmm. And then the last one would be selling a house or relocating. And in 2013, I did four of the five. It was a very interesting year. And it started out, like in February, I was rushed to the hospital, chest pains. And I went in and they took me immediately into the emergency room. And when I came out, woke up, they told me that I had two things. I had AFib, and then I had pericarditis. So over the next 6 months, I went in to take all sorts of tests and trying to figure out what to do and that kind of thing. And finally decided I was going to have these two heart ablation surgeries. So at the 1st of August, I had the first one. And when I came out of it, about 2 or 3 days after that, my ex-wife told me that she was thinking about getting a divorce. And that was kind of another shot. And then about 2 days after that, my boss called me up and said that the company I was working for was going out of business and that I was going to lose my health insurance the day after my surgery was scheduled. So the doctors kindly rescheduled it so that I had it the day before my insurance went out.
Yeah.
And for the next couple of months, my ex-wife and I went to marriage counseling, and then in November 20th, she told me that she made up her mind she wanted a divorce. So I left the house that day, and I was in a fog. I'd been in Nashville before from 83 to 92, and that's when I started writing with Garth and some other people. And I left strictly because I was going to take care of my family. It was a hard decision to make because music was my life. But in this fog for the next 6 to 8 weeks, I didn't really have a plan or a thought. I just knew that I was going to go back. There was nothing to hold me back anymore. So I moved back to Nashville. And as fate or luck would have it, I moved in with my roommates from 30 years ago. And I rented a room for $50 a month, put my stuff into storage. And I felt like a complete failure. 30 years later, and I'm still living with roommates, and I don't have a job, and I'm not going anywhere. So, for me, when you go through a divorce during the day, you can there's something to distract you. There's people, there's friends. You can go someplace, but at night, it is the loneliest experience you can ever have. It's just torture. And so, I never, very rarely, when did he went to sleep at night. And I remember laying in the bed though and praying to God. And feeling like my prayers just stopped at the ceiling. They never left the room. And so because there was just all this anxiety and pain, I went up and I went walking around the neighborhood. And in Nashville, there's really not any sidewalks. It's these black top roads. And so I'd wander around. I usually ended up at the high school track, and I'd walk or run till I couldn't walk or run anymore. And then I'd wander what back towards the house. And when you're walking at night, like that, you can hear things you wouldn't hear during the day. Like there's animals or critters running around. There's the hum of the street lights and crickets and little things, little noises to kind of keep you company. Well, over the next year to 2 years, I started healing through a lot of different things, and it's part of the book. But one of the things that took place was when people found out I was back in town, publishers started sending me these young kids to write with to teach them a little bit about the songwriting process. And one day I was writing with this very talented young lady, and she had just pitched a song to a major artist and was waiting. And I asked her, "Well, what did you hear back?" And she said, "Crickets." And I didn't know what that meant. And she explained to me, it's this absence of a response. And as soon as she said it, I knew that I had my next song because that is what I felt like when I was talking to God. All I heard was crickets. And so the chorus of the song basically is, "And all I hear are crickets and the evening breeze blowing through the breeze. I send you prayers from on my knees, begging you, God, please talk to me, but all I hear are crickets." And once I finished that song, it kind of led me to the thought of I wanted to bring out the story of going through this transformation. So the book itself has 13 chapters, and each chapter has one or two stories to illustrate a biblical truth that I've learned. And on top of then at the end of that chapter, there's going to be the lyrics to a song and a link where you can go hear the song. And I did that to make sure that people learn in different ways, to make sure that I was getting my message out to people. And the overall message of that first one with crickets was one, you're not alone. The prophet in the Bible, it talks about how he was in this cave and God wasn't in the thunder, he wasn't in the wind, he wasn't in all that. He was that still small voice. And that's what crickets was for me. That was God telling me, "I'm with you," as I went on my journey. That's my story.
Wow. Was there a single moment on stage in the writer's room or in prayer when you realized that this story had to become a book?
After I'd written the song, I usually, when I release a song, I put like a paragraph on my pages and to just explain it. And people started telling me they wanted to know more. And then I figured out that I had all these little gems, what I consider gems, songs. And so I took that little paragraph to a publisher and talked to him about it. And he says, "You need to write a story on this." And after I wrote the story, he says, "You need more of these stories." And so I went through looking for songs that would illustrate something that was what I'd learned. And they're not all Christian songs. The overall thing is a spiritually based and faith-based book. But some of the truths that I learned, or some of the songs, just illustrate some of the truths. They're not going to say "Hallelujah, God" or anything like that. They're going to talk about a problem like forgiveness or loneliness, things like that.
Wow. How is your Christian faith shaped with your writing voice and the way you move through success, suffering, and everything in between?
Well, I'd be lying to you if I said that my faith was strong or all the time. I mean, there are times when as I said, I mentioned God. I didn't know where he was. But for me, I think the question was how does it go with me? I have nothing else to fall back on. There's nothing else that makes sense. And about the time I reach the bottom of what I think I can stand, there's usually a light an epiphany that comes to me. And I found nothing else that can fill in the gaps of my life to make it make sense.
Wow, that's powerful. When the world what when the well runs dry, what spiritual practices help you write again? Or silent scripture, long walks, community? Is there something that inspires you?
Life, you'll find the strangest little things, as a country writer, you always look for like a little twist, something on a phrase, and I'll hear something from somebody, and that's the seed. Songwriting is chaos. I mean, you're really trying to get organization out of whatever's out there, and so this little seed will happen. It's usually just a little phrase or an event that you observe. And when that happens, it starts the process, and you never know where it's going to go.
Now you said songs mirror life. What life lessons showed up in your songs over and over, and why?
Wow, that's a tough question.
Yeah.
I think that without saying it, I try to find solutions or bring some clarity out of things you don't understand. I'm trying to think on the spot here. I'm having trouble thinking. I'll give you one. I wrote a song once called "I Wish My Memories Had Been With You," and from it, the twist of it for me, memories you think are with someone else, but it's about a guy who's met the woman who's ch turned his life around. But it's kind of like me. Before that person came to my life, I spent 26 years with someone else. And where most people who stayed married all this time have this, well, my parents were married 70 years. And so they've got 70 years of memories. And some of the most incredible events in my life, I didn't share with this special person. And so that song to me was kind of poignant in what it did. But I think a lot of people have experienced that. It's like, and sometimes you can't even talk about it because, it takes away from where you're at.
Yeah, that's very true. Now, tell us the story behind one song that changed you while you were writing it.
Yeah, I want to die with memories, not dreams. It's a song. So I lost my baby sister, and when I moved out here, I thought my life was over. I mean, I was 56, 57 years old. It's like, what's left? And I've spent so much of my life working and taking care of other people, my ex-wife and my children. And I let my dreams go. I let these things that I wanted to do go. So when I met my new wife, she's an incredible human being. She has no fear of anything. I'm afraid of my shadow. She has no fear. So I was dragged kicking and screaming to all these new events. And as we got dated and got closer and closer and everything, finally it just hit me. I don't want to live on the back burners anymore. I want to make new memories. I want to die with memories and not the dreams of things I never did. So that's a very special song to me.
Yeah, it sounds very powerful, definitely. And it's meaningful too. I don't want to die with dreams. I do want to die with memories, So true. Now you collaborated with giants. What did co-writing with Garth Brooks teach you about truth, simplicity, and craft?
Well, I met Garth before he was Garth. And so, and he's just an it's hard to believe this. He really is just a normal guy, a fun guy.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
So as in the beginning, it was no big deal. We wrote songs just like with anyone else. But as it got later on, it's like the intimidation factor of, oh my gosh, this guy is incredible, and who am I?
Right.
So I don't talk to him all the time anymore. We will exchange texts here and there, or emails. But every time I contact him, he's still warm, loving, appreciative, says the nicest things. He's a very encouraging person. I can never say anything bad about him. So what was it like writing with him? It was a blast. We had fun. We laughed, and we laughed, we cried, and we captured lightning in a bottle, as they say.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Now, for emerging writers, what's your three-part framework for finishing better songs? Idea, emotional center, edit.
Well, the first thing is the song is the in charge. You cannot. One of the dangers you run into is injecting yourself. Here I am talking about these things that from my life that inspired it, but the song itself is different. It has a life of its own. I knew a friend of mine, incredible songwriter in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and he once told me, and this sounds kind of crazy maybe, but songs exist out there in the ethos. And our job is not to interfere with them. And so I don't, I now I'm going to really get out there, but I don't share this with too many people. I actually believe that music is the language of the spirits. And so, and there's some songs that just lift you up, and there's others that are just evil. They'll take you in different places. And I'm not going to make that decision for people about what is good or bad. So
Right.
what do you do to write? You're true to the song. You don't settle. You
Right.
absolutely will. I'll be with some of my co-writers, and we will agonize for 30 minutes over one word in a line. And that's not an exaggeration, because we sometimes it doesn't present itself immediately. There's been other times where we write a song we think is great, and we'll come back and revisit it in another week. And it's like one word changes it. One note changes it. So never settle. Be true to the song. Absolutely be true to the song.
Oh, I love that. Now, you've played for big rooms and small. What do house concerts or intimate shows give you that a studio can't?
The nice thing about house concerts is you're not competing with a bartender or a bunch of drunks. It's one-on-one. You're in a small room, usually somewhere on a low end, maybe 20, on the high end, probably 40 or 50. And they're listening. They came there to listen. And then and you build personal relationships with them. This person over here will ask you a question, you answer it. And that's another thing, the dialogue back and forth. And then that has someone else asking a question. And by the time it's over, you've made 50 new friends. That's the magic of a house concert.
I love that. I love that. Now you earned a gold record. What did that milestone confirm or not about success and calling?
Well, it didn't change anything about me. What it did change was it's almost always, and this is embarrassing, it's almost like I've mastered the art of dropping that gold record and that song in any conversation where it doesn't look like I'm bragging, but it looks like I'm embarrassed. And I say that because once you say that you've written with Garth Brooks and you have a gold record, someone is writes you off as no one else, and all of a sudden, it's kind of like, dude. And once that you have their attention, Then you can start talking about things that mean something. And you'll find people that are going to kiss up to you a little bit because they think you're going to be able to do something for them. I'm a nobody. I'm really not. I mean, I got lucky and have a, I met someone, I got a gold record, I've been able to write songs, but there are thousands of people out there more talented than me. But I have a platform now, which allows me to do this show, which allows me to witness to people about my faith. So I feel like that's what God's got me doing right now. It took me, I'm not going to say how old, it took me many years of my life to get to this point to where I had something that I felt was worthy and that God wanted me to do.
I love that. I think everything happens for a reason. I think we go through things for a reason, and it brings us to certain journeys and certain points in our life. And there is a reason for everything. And everything we go through molds us into a better person, good or bad, I believe.
Yeah, I agree.
If someone's walking through chaos right now, what lyric or scripture or practice would you hand them?
Oh, wow. I think the one I would give, there's a line in a song, and this may not feel like it applies, but it says, "I'm just me when I'm with you." We put on different faces, like, and this is my problem with, I tell people I'm a follower of Jesus. I don't say I'm a Christian, and it's not that I'm not, I'll use them interchangeably sometimes, but the denominations and and these people who are arguing about dipping versus sprinkling and all that, just have destroyed what it is. I'm following Jesus. So I get back to this, I'm just me when I'm with you. I'm not going to be a different person inside the church building as I am outside of it. And in the song, it says, "I'm just me when I'm with you. What you see, what is it? You're exactly as I am as a person, as a man. I'm just me when I'm with you." And it was written originally as a love song, but it's put into the book because that is how it should be when you're a follower of Jesus. Naked, and hopefully you're naked like that. You're how you really are when you're out with people.
I love that. Now, where can people connect deeper with your inner circle or your performances or your upcoming events?
Well, my website, www, is that right? Three of them, dot kentmaxson.com. You can come out and join my mailing list and see what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I will be playing, and if you contact me through my website, I will go within reason. I will go do house concerts. I try to arrange them together in an area, but I'll go do some house concerts. My only requirement is that you have at least 20 people to make it worth my while, and then I'll try to put some other. And I say worth my while just because of the finances, not that they're not worth it. So yeah, you can do that. Or if you come to Nashville, my wife and I run an Airbnb. It holds up to 20, we 12 people comfortably. And when the people come, we give them an option of having a house concert. And I'll bring over a couple of my very talented friends for an extra fee. Of course, I got to pay my friends. And we'll put on a private show for you that'll be like none you've ever had.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Now, what is one myth about songwriting that you'd retire?
What is one myth?
Is there a myth out there that you hear a lot, but it's not really what you think?
Well, there's a myth. I don't know if this is about songwriting. There's a myth that you're going to get filthy rich. The royalties that have gone down so much because of streaming, and I understand people want to listen to music. I would encourage them to understand that the songwriters are getting ripped off on it. And if you're go into music for the money, less than 1% of the people who get into this actually become those big stars. Now you can make a living at it if you're willing to, do some other things. Play one of them, of course, is playing bars or clubs. A new way is really getting a fan base online where you can have a small fee and you can have that interaction. So Don't think you're going to get rich on it. You might get some money on it. You do it because you love it.
Yes. I think that is with everything. If you think about it, if you go into something and you're just going in for the money, I don't think, I don't think the percentage of success is not there. And if you do succeed, you're not doing it with your heart. And people can see that too. So that has
Right.
a big impact. And that person's not going to be happy because they're not really doing what they really want to do. They're just doing it for the money. And if you think about it, money doesn't buy you happiness. You can have all the money in the world, but if you're not happy inside nothing's going to change how you feel inside.
Yeah, we have different things placed in our hearts. God gave us different skills and talents, and to walk away from those is very, I think you'll regret it at the end of your life, no matter what money you made.
Yeah.
Being true to yourself and what God gave you is more important.
I agree with you 100%. Now, is there one habit in your life that keeps you grounded?
One of the things that I do to keep me going, is every morning I have, takes me about 30 to 45 minutes. I have like seven different little readers, Bible verses or lessons that I read through. And then I do a 5-minute journal, and I just write out some things that happened, things that I want to happen, what lessons I've learned. And I'll do that for 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening. If I don't take that time to go through a devotional of some kind, I notice it in how I approach the day. I need that. I'm such a I have such poor so many poor habits that I need that to straighten out my thinking.
Yeah, I think that's very important. They always say, like, especially in the morning when you wake up, if you could spend a couple minutes just either, doing what you just said, writing something positive in a journal. Some people actually get a jar and they just like take little pieces of paper and they might write three or four things they have gratitude for and then put it in the jar. Just to put something really positive and worthwhile in your mind can make a huge difference on how you go about the day and how you present yourself. And especially I like that when you talk about midday, because if you notice, a lot of people start to go down when the midday comes. And if you could take some time out, just all you need is 5 minutes of you time, and it can make such a difference for the rest of the day.
Gratitude journals for me are a necessity.
Yeah. Well, they say gratitude and love are the most important and most powerful things that you need in your life in order to be anything and in order to be happy, fulfilled, to be able to move forward in life. Happiness, love and gratitude bring happiness. And if you don't have love and gratitude in your life, then you're not going to be happy.
Yeah, happiness is not an accident.
Yeah.
You really, I mean, things can make you happy for a moment, possibly. But for me personally, if I didn't have these tools, I'm very, very capable of being depressed all my life. So
Yeah.
I need those.
I think everybody does, to be honest with you. Now, if there was one song you wish you'd written, is what song would it be and why?
It's called Blessings by Laura Story.
Oh.
I can remember driving all the way from Dallas, Texas area to Nashville, which is about a 10, 11-hour drive, and having that song on repeat both ways.
Yeah.
I needed it at the time in my life. I think it's an incredibly beautiful and powerful song.
I love that. Now, where can people find your book?
There's quite a few places. One, the most popular place, of course, is Amazon. It is pretty much on any online store. And then, of course, it's on my website with links to, actually, there's even music videos there, links to music videos, the songs themselves, and lyrics and everything on my website.
Oh, great. Now, is there any other things that you sell that you can mention on the show to tell everybody?
On my website, I have obviously CDs and music. I have T-shirts and hats and all the stuff like that. I have some special things when I go out and do shows that are available. But And when I do books, so little trinkets. I mean, I've got little bookmarkers with my picture on it and that kind of stuff. So,
Love it. I love it. And can you tell everybody once again what your website is so they remember?
www. I said that like a Texan, didn't I? Kent Maxson, spelled MAXSON.com. I have a, no, let me interrupt. I have a friend of mine from Kentucky, and when he speaks, he's instead of saying the word wash, it's wash. So I got to be careful about my Texas accent. I don't want to throw people off.
That's funny. That's funny. I like tech. We have a lot of people from Texas come on the show. You guys got great accents. You really do. Well, this has been amazing, Kent. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope you'll come on again, and I really enjoy talking to you. And I just think that, you've gone through a lot in life, and you never let it knock you down. And if you did get knocked down, you got right back up. And in life sometimes, people get knocked down and they don't want to get up, but you did. And that says a lot for you as a person. And I really admire, how you really turned your life around and really, four out of those five is a tough one, to overcome. And you didn't let it get you down, and you've really brought, you got your happiness back. You accomplished a whole bunch of things, and you've written a book about it. So I gotta say kudos to you and everything that you do and all the accomplishments that you made. And music, really, I love music. I don't really watch much TV, but music is just like it goes right to the soul. It really, it's therapy, in my book, and I appreciate that you write these songs and that you share them with the world. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the honor and privilege of being here. I've really enjoyed getting to know you.
Yes, same here. Same here. You have a great day.
You too.